Teachers in the Graysville Academy, St. Helena, California, June 18, 1907. To the teachers in the Graysville Academy, God is dishonored when strife for the supremacy prevails among His servants. In the night season, the school at Graysville was presented before me. I saw that there was contention among the workers there in regard to position and the class of work to be done by the various teachers. Words were spoken, and a spirit manifested that grieved the Holy Spirit. Important matters were being handled in an irreligious manner. The spirit that was manifested was not the spirit of Christ. When the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever receiveth one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Matthew 18, verse 1-6. This instruction concerning pride and self-seeking is needed today. It should be studied by our teachers in Graysville. Unsanctified self was seeking for the preference. The workers showed that they lacked the spirit of unselfish love that led the Savior to give His life for the redemption of the world. Those who participated in such strife need to understand what manner of spirit they are of, and to humble their hearts before God. A deep heart work must be done to counterwork the results of such experiences. Christ invites you to repent and be converted. If there are too many teachers for the work in Graysville, do not give way to a spirit that dishonors God. There is an abundance of work to be done in other places. Many cities of the South are waiting for our workers with true missionary zeal to enter them. The work of God must be carried forward rapidly. Time is short. The day of reckoning will soon be upon us. We have not a moment to waste in idleness, strife, or contention. The Lord has been dishonored by your treatment of one another at Graysville, and unless a different spirit takes possession of the workers there, they cannot labor acceptably as ministers of the Lord. Some who have claimed to possess wisdom and judgment need to learn the very first lessons of Christian experience. They need to take Christ's yoke and learn His meekness and lowliness of heart. When you learn of Christ, there will be no strife for position or honor. Christian politeness is a wonderful healer of strife and grief. No jealousy and evil surmising will dwell in the sanctified heart. Some have permitted the love of self to grow in their hearts, and they are self-exalted. Unless they humble their hearts before God and are converted, this spirit will continue to live and will finally destroy the love of Christ out of the heart. The human heart, unless controlled by the Holy Spirit, is selfish and proud and unjust. There must be a decided change in the spirit and words and actions of the Graysville Church before the works of its members can be in harmony with the lessons of Christ concerning the gospel standard of true righteousness. The Lord now calls for self to be conquered and neighborly love to be manifested. True religion comes into the life when soul, body, and spirit are sanctified to the will of God. Then, and only then, will unselfish action be revealed. Needed qualifications. The teachers in our schools are to be men of solid understanding who study to become more and more capable by learning the lessons Christ has given in His Word. Their lives should be such that they will be recognized as men who have learned the lessons of a deep Christian experience. Ministers, physicians, and educators of the youth, in any line, are to be strong men mentally and spiritually, as well as physically. Christ has made it possible for them to become His true ministers, to be sincere and true as steel to principle, and to reach the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. "Learn of me," says the great teacher, "for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 29-30. The life of the soldier of Christ is a life of aggressive warfare, of perseverance and endurance. It is no mimic battle in which we are engaged. There is earnest work to be done, for we have a powerful adversary to meet. The Apostle Paul, writing to encourage and warn us, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on, not the common dress of the citizen, but the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 13. In every emergency of life, we are to find our strength where the early disciples found their strength, in prayer to God. When they were all of one accord in one place in prayer, suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2, verse 2-4. As a result of the Holy Spirit's work on that day, 3,000 souls were added to the faith. When Peter, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, healed the lame man in the gate of the temple, and the rulers of the temple bade him preach no more in that name, the church resorted to prayer, and the Lord again confirmed their faith with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Acts 4, verse 31-32. When this work of consecration and faith enters into our experience, we will see the work that needs to be done, and we will do it. Earnest prayer from a contrite heart will make its impression on human minds, and the power of the Holy Spirit of God will be seen in the melting of the heart and the subduing of the spirit to God.